Amen. Hey, how many of you remember Todd Levin? He's got like a 5-minute intro of prayer. I thought mine was just kind of the condensed version here. But anyway, he's so cute. Praise the Lord. But, okay, so my first week that we started talking about church, and basically we were saying, okay, God talks about church. He's got churches listed. He calls the body a church. So what's my part? So we were really just going over, hey, what's my part as a member of a local body? And listen, I am just telling you what God said. He said everybody should be a member of a local body. And he said also everybody should be active and functioning. Say active. Functioning. So if you just come in and sit, does that make you active and functioning? No, but we are very glad you're here. Okay, so I love you, I'm glad you're here. But we were talking about that God desires for everyone. So that was week one. Week two, we talked about that God needs us to be unified when we're a member. Basically, no division, where we're unified. And listen, it's real easy to be unified. Put your one finger up in the air if you pretend like you're in children's ministry with me. We're unified about one thing. It's Him. It's the Lord Jesus. So easy. I'm telling you, the Word of God is so easy. Amen. So when we're being active and functioning as a member and we're unified, God can do great things. And I want to tell you, we have a lot of great volunteers here. Matter of fact, there's a SLU that just went down with a SLU of kids, all right? And they do not just babysit. Okay, even in our nursery, you think we're babysitting, we're reading stories, we're getting down on the floor and we're telling them, don't bite or steal toys from one another. You know, kids, no, share. Share is the word in the nursery. And it goes like this until they hit a certain age. But we're training them up. We love doing that, okay? So we've got a lot of volunteers down there. And hey, we've got volunteers that I love and appreciate because you don't want me doing some things. All right, we've got volunteers, our ushers. Wave your hand if you're an usher. If you're a greeter, hallelujah. If you're in our sound ministry, sound booth. Raise your hand if you're on part of the worship team. Wow. CDs, my guys do CDs. Put your hand up. I want to see it. Martha, get like that. Yeah, all right. We've got people in our bookstore. Raise your hand if you do some stuff in our bookstore. Listen, we've got volunteers, and I appreciate you very, very, very much. But God wants everybody to be active, not just, you know, this, all right? So prayerfully consider, God, what's my part? What's my part? And let's see, that was week three. What do I do last week? Last week we talked about if you're a part of a local church, God wants you to serve with a heart that it's not about me and all the things I want. And we talked about, I definitely did not want those basketball hoops. It was just like a big headache. I see trash down there, but it wasn't about what I wanted. Because sometimes when you're serving, it's not about what you want. There was a greater thing going on. And we had kids come to the Lord this past 2 years in the summer months because of those basketball hoops. So when you're a part of a local church and you're serving, sometimes you don't get your preferences. I don't. A lot of times. Sometimes I get in there. Okay. Now, today is my last week, I said. You can all go, yay! Last week, we're going to talk about church. And I was like, okay, Lord, I was between two messages. And I knew what the Lord wanted me to share. And I was just dodging it. I was in pain yesterday because I was like, I know you want me to do this. And I was going to do the easy door. So I'm going to do the hard one, all right? And actually, Joe, in everything he shared, was my message. So I was going to go, good, I'm out of here. I don't have to do this. The Lord said, no, okay? So I'm going to be talking about giving. As a church member, what is your part of giving? Now, let me back up. Have you ever, everybody know about AA, Alcoholics Anonymous? Okay, so they have groups, and they come in, they sit in a circle, and they'll go around, hey, I've got this problem. I thought I had it under control, but man, it's out of control. I'm an alcoholic. I'm addicted. And I was thinking on that. Don't ask me why. Just silly thoughts. And this is what the Lord said. Hey, that's you. I said, what? He said, 1979. Take that back. 1976. I thought I had it all together, and I found out my life was out of control. And somebody, thanks to Mom and Dad Cashman and the somebodies that they knew, introduced me to a person that said, just said, Dee, do you need a savior? I was like, what's that? Because I was a mess. I couldn't even figure out what it was. Anyway, I asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. And I've been addicted to him ever since. And then 9 months later, I got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then I was really addicted to Jesus. And hello, my name is Dee. Now, if you've been to an AA meeting, you'd know what I'm saying. Okay. So I've been addicted to Jesus. But you know, as my life was growing, when I finally got a Bible, it took me a couple months to get a Bible, found out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, I was so dumb. Found it out you needed a Bible and read it and all that stuff. But as I started growing, I realized that not only was I addicted to Jesus, I became addicted to giving. And it's really, I get myself in trouble all the time here, don't I? I'm always running around doing things, serving and giving and serving. And, you know, I fell off the ladder a couple weeks ago. I should not have been on the ladder. I was doing dumb stuff. But I get myself in trouble doing it. But for the most part, besides that, I can't help myself. I'm addicted to the Lord and to be his heart. So today, I want to talk about giving, okay? And listen, I know there's people in this church. I know you know in your heart that you're to be a giver, but somehow you're like, But so I want to just open this up to you. And I want to say, I am not telling you my opinion today. I am going to machine gun scriptures. Carol, what'd I get? A dozen of them today? I am going to teach the word of God. And then, bam, it's on your lap. You get to decide, okay? It's sort of like when that person said, Dee, would you like to accept Jesus? And then they went through scriptures, and bam, it was in my lap, and I had to decide. And I've never regretted my decision. My only regret was I didn't get saved earlier, okay? Because I would have loved to go to college being born again and not. I'll tell you. So, number one, if you're taking notes, God's a giver. Write that down. God's a giver. God is a giver. And when you, like me, when I've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, and he came into my life, and he gave me a new life, and he made me a new creature, and he took junk and just put all of him in there, then guess what? If he's a giver, and he lives inside of me, guess what you are? Yeah! I didn't write it. That's right out of the word. Okay, so if God's a giver, and he lives in you, guess what? You are a giver by nature. That's what you are. And though it's interesting, so we've been talking the last several weeks about to be active, member, functioning in the local body, to be serving. And sometimes we can think, my serving is enough. My, as a leader, and I do what I do, is enough. But listen, nothing replaces giving. Because listen, who lives inside of you? Yeah, who's the giver? So you can't replace sometimes the do without giving, all right? All right, so I want to talk about giving, and listen, it's not so I can get something off of you. It's not so I can get stuff from you, okay? It's not that. It's because, number one, it's in the Bible, it's the Word of God, and God wants you to be a giver. He's a giver, the giver lives inside of you, so God wants you to be a giver, all right? So that's number two, God wants you to be a giver. Listen, he doesn't force you. God, when he says to give, is not trying to force you. I can just see him coming and grabbing wallets and taking stuff out. And he's also, and I have been in services, and this is not God, where they make you feel like schmoo. Because they go, yah, yah, and you just feel horrible by the way people talk to you about giving. That's not God then, okay? That is not God. And that's not his purpose, to make you feel bad, all right? So, God wants you to give, third thing to write down, because he asks you. He asks you. He doesn't force you. He asks you. That just sounds like, just ask, all right? So God asks you to be a giver. And now, how many have heard this saying? There's two type of people in this world. There are takers and there's givers. Okay, now when I heard that after I got born again, and I think somebody cooked up a third one, but for the sake of my message, there's two types of people in this world. And listen, I see it, takers and givers. And right away, I was a giver. And I didn't have a lot, but I had a lot to serve, you know. So I was just always just giving anyway. So I decided I was going to be a giver. And now there is nothing worse than being a taker. I'm sorry, it's just the way I feel about it, okay? And I'm going to show you in the Word of God, all right? There's nothing worse than being just a taker. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone and they are a taker? Man, you just pour into them, pour into them, pour into them, and they just suck you, suck you, suck you. All right, take, 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 take. Is that good? No. Next relationship, okay? That's not good to be just a taker, all right? So, I don't know what number I'm on. What are we on, four? Number four. I changed all my numbers here. Giving's in the Bible, all right? It was introduced by God, not by pastors, not by missionaries, not by organizations. God introduced giving. Turn over to 1 Chronicles. This is the New Living. All right. I was going to try my little machine, but I figured I'm still on the paper thing here. But Carol's going to throw these up here. 1 Chronicles 1:21. Okay? God is a giver. God is a giver. And giving's a good thing. 1 Chronicles 21. Let me see if I can find. 1 Chronicles 21. I'm reading out of the New Living. And I'm going to start in 24. Let me give you some background before I get there, because I don't want to read the whole thing. There's an angel that appears to King David, okay? And he's like, whoa! And, you know, every time you see angels, people see angels in the Bible, they kind of freak out. So there's an angel that appears to David, and he is so, what the angel said to him, just squished his heart, pierced his heart. And right away he thought, man, I want to build an altar for God right here where this angel came with a message for me. Matter of fact, I want to buy the land. At the same time, when this is going on, the owner of the land, who, by the way, was not an Israelite, the owner of the land catches out of the corner of his eye. He sees David and this angel. I mean, he and his sons. And they're like, oh, I almost did it too. They pass out on the floor because this angel shows up. All right? So David saw the angel who came with a message. This Jebusite, I think is his name. He's not an Israelite. Sees this message. And verse, where am I? 24. But King, okay, so King David's going to the owner. How do I say his name? Ornan, thank you. He goes to this guy and says, listen, I insist on buying this land for full price. I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing. So David gave this guy 600 pieces of gold in payment for the, by the way, for all you Bible trivias, that location is where Solomon built the temple. Okay? All right. So what's so important about this? Let me tell you. Giving, your giving, now he was giving to do a burnt offering. So let's say giving in a tithe. Giving costs you. Oh, well, Pastor Dean, I'm not giving then. Hold on, Mabel. Just calm down. But I'm going to say it again. Listen, giving will cost you. So your tithes and offering will cost you. Oh, crud, that's why I'm not doing it. No, 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 hang in there. Now let me tell you this. You can never do what God said to do in the Word and not get more back. So if God says this is going to cost you, He always gives more back. Okay, Mabel, did you, what do they say, undo your, you know, whatever. It's okay. Okay. All right. So if God says, I want you to be giver and it's going to cost you, take for instance, I get paid every Wednesday here. And I get my paycheck, and I right away give my tithe, which is 10%, to the Lord. Pastor D, the Lord's in heaven. Well, the Bible says you give, that way you give to the Lord is you give to your local church where you are planted, all right? And then God receives it, and according to this, he blesses it. And he blesses me. And I'm telling you, I'm living today almost 60, and I've been blessed. But it costs me. But I've been blessed. But it costs me. Yeah, I had to reach in here and do this, all right? But it costs me. But God said, I'll bless you more. How many of you have had the more? Yeah, amen. All right, so this is the exciting thing. God promises that if you give with a right heart, and we're going to talk about the right heart. If you give, he will bless you. And if, listen, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. If you're not a giver, you don't love Jesus. Because he says to give. And then he says, I'll bless you. All right? But my right heart is, I just, you asked? You asked? I give. All right? So first, let me back up a little bit. Let me talk about the character of God. Because really, I think God has gotten a bad rap. I mean, a smear campaign against God. All right, take for instance, tornadoes. What do they say? Act of God, right? That's a bad rap, all right? Now, listen, let me tell you why that happens. We live in a fallen world. Thank you, Adam and Eve, for disobeying high treason in the Garden of Eden, and it just dominoed that we live in a cursed world. And things happen, all right? And that's what, so those are the things. It's not an act of God, those things, all right? Let me, okay, open up your Bibles. We're going to just go through a whole bunch right now. I'm going to switch to, where did I do it? King James. Or is that New King James, Carol? What I got down there? Okay, well, praise the Lord. I think we're going to do New King James. Here we go. All right. God's not doing that kind of stuff. He doesn't do the acts of God, the people say. Matter of fact, how about this one? Let me throw one more. This happened to one of my kids when they were in high school. They were two of their friends, and they went Saturday night. They went out partying, and they were drinking, and they were driving. They took a corner curve too fast. They smashed into a telephone pole or tree. I don't remember what it was. And these two young guys, seniors in high school, were killed. And people said, because I went to that service, God took them. So listen, our God is either an evil guy or he's a good guy. And I want to read a bunch of scriptures to make you know that you know that you know that you know. And then you know that you can tell somebody, our God's good. And he gives. He doesn't take. Not that way. He doesn't take. Amen. Okay, Matthew 7:11. Okay. Matthew 7:11. This is a good one. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father who is heaven give good things to those who ask? Looks like a giver, right? Looks like a giver. Okay, next one, John 3:16. For God, you don't have to look that one up. You can all say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Does that sound like a giver or a taker? That's a giver. That's our God. He's a giver. All right, next one. James 1:5. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all, oh, I love the all, liberally and without reproach, and it will be given unto you. Sounds like a give, right? Is that a give? All right, another one. 1 Corinthians 15. Write these down, guys, and look them up later and just have fun with them. 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he give you? Victory. What does he do? He gives. Oh my gosh. All right. He gives. How about James? Back to James 1:17. I should have done them back to back. Sorry about that. James 1:17. Oh, went too far. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow of turning. Sounds like a good thing, right? All right, last one. Let's, 1 Timothy. I got two more. I got some more. Just praise God. 1 Timothy. Praise God. Whoops, went too far. 1 Timothy 6:17. Oh, this is good. Everybody read this one? 1 Timothy 6:17. Command or charge those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives you stuff to enjoy, y'all. I think Joe said that somewhere in his message. He wants you to enjoy the things he gives. All right? That's our God. He's a giver. All right. Last one. I promise last one. Romans 8. Romans 8, 32. Well, this is the last one on these. I got a whole slew more. Romans 8. 8, 32. Maybe I got the wrong one. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. Okay, wrong scripture. Oh, okay, I'm reading something. Oh, come on. Dyslexia. Number reversal. Okay. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Man, wow. Everybody say, wow, God just gives. Every scripture is about God giving to you. Freely, abundantly, everything, everything. So, did God get a bad rap? Does he have a smear campaign going on? Yeah, but he's not a taker. He's a giver, all right? And listen, if you're here today, say you're a single mom and you're struggling, or you're a family and you're just struggling in your finances, listen, I've got good news for you. According to these scriptures, God is a giver and he has a way out. He has a way up and a way out. Up, up, and away, okay? He has that, and he, you know what he says how to do it? This is God. He says, I want you to be like me and be a giver, all right? Be like me and be a giver. Now, I have a question. Does God need your money? No! I can just see him going, hey, guys, he's up in heaven, talking to the angels. You know, we got a recession going on up here. You better go down to YCF and make them givers. Or better yet, you know, we have just scratched all the last of the gold off the streets. We don't got no more, so you better get down and tell those people they need to give. God doesn't need your money, okay? He doesn't. What are you going to do with it, all right? But listen, he asks you to give. He asks you to give, all right? And why? Do you know why he does this? I laid on the floor just thinking of this. He asked you to give because it's a checkup on your heart. Checks your heart. All right? Checks your heart. All right? If your heart's great, you're like, whoa, okay. All right? It's all about your heart. All right? And listen, you give, God receives it, and then he just pours onto you. Right? Listen, so let's say again, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need your money, but he's asking you to give. All right? Turn over to Proverbs. Okay, another Bible here. Proverbs 10. Gosh. I have one of those, Stephen, one of those things that are big, a tablet or something like that. What's that thingy? All right? But the lights keep going out on me. I can't figure out how to stay on. I was going to do that. Someone work with me. You just teach me how to do that stuff, because this is silly today. I mean, I got so many Bibles and flipping here. Okay, let me show you some good stuff in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of the Lord make one rich. He adds no sorrow with it. Wow. Okay. Now, let me tell you about this word. Let me say. The blessings, or another word they use a lot of times is the favor of the Lord. You're born again. God gives you his blessing, his favor. He said, I didn't write this. Believe me, I would have written this, but he beat me to it. God says, the blessings of the Lord will make you rich. Okay, now rich doesn't mean a millionaire. Doesn't mean you go to the lottery and da-da-da, okay? What it means is you are fully supplied. That's the word rich. So you are fully supplied so that you and your family have plenty and an overflow to bless other people. That's rich. Yeah, thank you. It's rich when I have plenty for me and plenty to be a blessing. Okay, is that rich? That's rich. All right. So listen, God wants me to be rich. Everybody say that. God wants me to be rich. I just read it. The blessing is that God wants me to be rich. All right. Now, do you believe it? Okay. I'll tell you what. I struggled with receiving that. I grew up in a home of one of six, and my dad had a good job, but you divide it with six kids, man. It was tight. And I just had a dumb mentality about being this rich. All right. And it took a while. I don't know, I had stupid thoughts in my head. Anybody ever had those stupid thoughts? I can't do that. But I got rid of that, and I now say, God wants me to be rich. I believe it. God wants me to be rich. I believe it. I am fully supplied so I can bless you. God wants me to be rich. Some of you aren't smiling. God wants you to be rich, all right? Now, but here's something. The very interesting thing about this rich is, you're going to do this. You can't go after money. Can't go after money. And you can, some scriptures and stat. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I got to leave the names out to change. So you don't. Okay. I was hanging out with Jack, and we were meeting some of his old cronies from high school that grew up on the hill. Okay. And I was in the conversation with these two ladies, but they're just kind of ignoring me, to be really honest. Okay, and they were talking about their husbands, and they were reminiscing on a story, and these two girls, and they were younger than me, were telling how they used to work at such and such bank as a teller, and they would look at the young guys at their bank accounts and decide who they'd be friendly with. And one of them married one of those guys. That's bad. All right, that's going after money. That's going after money. So you can be rich, but you don't go after the money, all right? Now, Proverbs, everybody know Proverbs is all about wisdom, right? Tell your honey you wouldn't go after them for money, all right? Just look at him and say, honey, I didn't go after money for you. Yeah, yep. All right, Proverbs talks about wisdom, and it talks about wisdom. Turn over to Proverbs. Blah, 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 3. We're switching Bibles. Here we go. New Living. Proverbs 3. We don't go after money. We go after wisdom. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Verse 10. And he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with wine. Wine. Okay. Listen. Honor the Lord with your, what did it say? Substance, wealth, same thing, all right? Or money. Substance, wealth, or money. Honor the Lord now with your substance or wealth or money, and he will fill your barns. So if you're a giver and you honor God with giving your finances, he says he's going to do something in return. You honor God by giving to him, and he's going to do something in return. Now, in the Proverbs back in there, they're talking about grain and wine, and I don't want any grain and wine, so what the heck does that mean? That means today my accounts will be overflowing, okay? And so I'm trying to endeah to have a couple accounts, so I'd have a couple more overflowing, all right? And it's been fun, hallelujah. So, now, the problem with that scripture, it's H-O-N-O-R. Five-letter word. What's it say? Honor the Lord. It didn't say honor YCF with your giving. It didn't say honor Pastor D with your giving. What did it say? Honor the Lord. And that's that heart thing. Because I honor the Lord when I give. I am honoring the Lord when I give to Him. Honor. So that's where some people goof up on, all right? Now, it says, honor the Lord and honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your giving. Honor the Lord with your substance. Honor the Lord with your money. Well, Pastor, I don't have any. I don't got none. So what do you want me to do? I said, this is the amazing thing about God. Especially when it's really crazy. When you especially think about the tithe. How much is a tithe? It's not about an amount. $257.16 you owe. Can you imagine God's coming up and says, Scott, I want your W-2 now. And I will tell you how much you owe. An amount. He doesn't do that. He just says, what was that? No, I don't want to hear. He says, it's not an amount. It's giving a percent, 10%. And you know, 10%, if you got $100 this week, you earned $100, what's 10% of 100? $10. That's not a lot. How much did you get to pocket? $90. Woo! Okay, you made $2,000 this week. Yes, hallelujah. What's your 10%? But what do you got left in your pocket? Whoa! Okay. So you can tell I taught kids downstairs this. All right. I lost my place. Where am I here? All right. So listen, he's not looking at an exact amount. He's looking at 10%. All right? He's looking at 10%. And now this is my favorite question. I'm off on a rabbit trail. Every time we talk about this, somebody goes, yeah, but Pastor D, do I tithe off of the gross or the net? And I heard a pastor say this, and I was like, yes, so I'm stealing. He said, well, if you want the return off of the net, or if you want the return off of the gross, it's up to you. I was like, yay. All right. So it's up to you. It's not me. All right. Now, so we are to honor God, and if you honor Him with your substance, He's going to do something. He's going to bless your accounts. Turn over to, stay here, Proverbs 3, 14, 15, and 16. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than ruby. Nothing you desire can compare to her. She offers you long life in her hand and riches. Riches and honor. All right. So it simply says, I'm going, if you love me and you honor me, if you love me and you honor me and you give up your substance, I'm going to give you riches, long life, and honor. I don't know. It's just like great, isn't it? You should be just like drunk. Oh man, this is so good, Pastor D. This is wonderful. Okay. Now, let me explain it so you're all looking like, what? My friend Pastor Mike shared this, and I thought, I can't even think of a better story. He said it this way. Suppose I tell you I have a gift to give you. Actually, I have two gifts. Door number one, door number two. But you can only pick one. In door number one, I want to give you a brand new car, some expensive, the smells and bells. What would you pick, Frank? What kind of car? What kind of car? Because those Cashmans, I know they're going to say Jeep. All right, Cadillac, okay. You come to my house for a party. What do we have in the driveway? Jeeps, any color. Okay, it's really fun. My neighbors all get a kick out of it. Okay, but Frank, so in door number one is a brand new Cadillac with all the smells and bells and just so pretty. Okay, but door number two, I would like to give you the factory where they make all of them. So which would you want? Door number one? Now, those of you that don't want any headaches, you're going to say that. Okay. Or door number two? What is it? What? I knew there'd be one of those here. Okay. Which is better, the car or the factory? The factory. Okay. You listen, if you get the factory, it's like you're going after wisdom. You go after wisdom, you get the factory. You go after loving God, the wisdom of God, honoring God. You get the factory. or you get a car. And they break down. How many years do they last these days? Gee whiz, okay. So we're not to go after, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be rich. This scripture says, I go after the wisdom, okay, of God. And I'm going after, so you know what the wisdom of God means? I'm going after him. I'm going after him. I'm not going, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be rich. I'm going after him. And I honor him. And I give to him. And then he makes my accounts. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it, but it's great, all right? Now, some of you, your brain's going, tilt, 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 because your senses are going, and listen, and the world especially, you guys, you all know this stuff, but especially the world, they don't get how you can give, like Jesus said, Luke 6:36, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto you. He's saying, Jesus said, you give and things will run over you, fill up out over you. Okay, the world doesn't get that. But they're the world and you're not. You're not. You're made in God's image. The giver, you're made in his image, and he lives inside of you. And he said, listen, you get this heart of giving, and he's going to just do what he does. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I love that. I love that. This is probably my first scripture I memorized besides John 3:16. Okay, one more out of Proverbs. Proverbs 11. Okay, Proverbs 11, 24. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. All right. The King James says there, ooh, yeah, okay. There is that scatters, rithleth, okay, you love that, and increaseth, and there is them withhold, but that is, oh, I can't do King James, so sorry. Let me do the New King James. It'll sound, gee whiz, I just, where am I? Proverbs 11, thank you, 11. 24. There is one who scatters. See, take those THs off of there. Yet increases more. There is one who scatters and increases more. There is one who scatters and increases more. Tilt, tilt. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but leads to poverty. I don't have to understand it. My God wrote it. He understands it and he does it. So he's saying, listen, you hold, you're going to lead to poverty. You go and you give, he's going to just make you wealthy. Fat. The word there is in the, I think it's in the King James, I was cracking up, means fat. So everybody say fat. Fat. I'm going to be fat, wealthy, rich, fat. That's my word for the day. I'm fat. Hallelujah. I'm fat in the things of God. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered. Okay, blah, blah, blah. All right, basically same thing. Generous, generosity, liberal, giving. The person that does this, he's going to be made fat. The person that does not, poverty. Isn't God cool? He's so cool. All right, closing. Okay, I promise I'm closing. Turn over to 2nd, okay, I'm switching Bibles, 2 Corinthians, I'm in the Amplified, all right, hallelujah, your giving, when God asks you to give, goes beyond giving, it's all about your heart, right, amen, it's about your heart, and he wants you to, when it's about your heart, you honor him. He just, la, la, la. And he just does and makes more. Wow. All right. Okay, last scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:6-10. Paul is writing, and start in chapter 8, but I'm going to slip that there and give you my short story. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. It's a church, like we're a church at YCF. We're the church in York at YCF. So he's writing to a real church. And he's doing a reminder because they had promised to give to another church, actually to the church in Jerusalem, because they were really poverty stricken and just real bad. All right. So Paul's sending them a little reminder text. Hey guys, I'm coming.
I'll be there in a couple weeks. And remember what you promised? I want you to have it ready to give. All right? That's the background on this. Okay? And listen, they had promised to give an offering. All right? So starting in chapter 9, around 6, these are the directions on how to give an offering. Now, I didn't say tithe. All right? This tithe is 10% of what we give. This is an offering, something different. All right? Hey, if you missed, when did we start? In September, this past December, finances God's way. Man, we learned so much about the different kinds of giving. Dave was teaching part of it. I got thrown in there a couple of times. We had a blast. But anyway, so this is one of those. This is not the tithe. Paul is giving directions on how they are to give an offering. So what are we talking about? Offering, all right? 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. He's reminding them. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap. Does that sound like we just read in Proverbs? Yeah. Okay, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously with blessings. All right, so what are these? These are blessings, that this offering is a blessing to the church in Jerusalem because they were having tremendous poverty and just heartache and stuff. Now, in the past at YCF, and we still do, but I'm thinking one in specific, is we had given money to Benit June. He is a national who lives in Haiti, and he came up here, and we blessed him with finances. We gave an offering to bless him. They were building a school, and it was just so cool. Anybody remember that? Benit, they got a picture of him on his donkey, and I thought, man, he needs to get a Cadillac. He needs to get off this donkey here. Okay, so we've blessed people like that. We have blessed Bob and Mary Holland down in Jamaica. They have a home for boys, and we've blessed them an offering. We've given an offering to bless them to help do their vision, take guys off the street, give them an education. Teach them about Jesus, okay? And they get a job. All right, let's see what else. Our missionaries, New Life for Girls. We support Harvest of Blessings. We give an offering to the Harvest of Blessings so they can go and pour out, give out. Man, they just give out to people in the York City area. Those are some of the things that we do here, and we're going to do more too. But an offering is something that you give out a blessing. And sometimes, you know, you never know what else happens to it. But the purpose is just to be a blessing. I just want to be a blessing. So that's an offering, all right? So let's see, where am I now? Verse 7. Let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart. Okay. This is the thing that you do with an offering. You get to decide in your mind what you're going to give. Now, tithe, you don't get to decide. How much is a tithe? They don't have discount rates on the first Sunday of every month. You only have to give 4%. Sorry, this is the special thing. Oh, I'm giving 4%. No, the tithe, when you give that on Honor the Lord, it's 10%. It just is, okay? But the other stuff, you get to decide. And I just used to love, Jack and I would sit down, somebody would come and we'd say, oh, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Oh, I don't know. How about this? How about that? We've given cars. We've given, all sorts of fun things. And we've given money. But it was what we decided. What we decided. So that's the difference from a tithe and an offering, right? You get to decide. And usually what I do is I go, okay, God, what do you want us to do? Does anybody do that and get excited about that? God, what do you want us to do? How much can we be a blessing? All right? And sometimes it's giving things. Anybody ever give things, not money? Oh, Shauna Dickinson, that girl gives things. She'll call it, we got a washing machine to give away. And then she needed one. And man, she got some back, okay? They're just such good givers, all right? The offering is what you feel like you pray about. And the second part says, not reluctantly or sorrowful or under compulsion. That means the person that asks, would you like to give to such and such Jerusalem? is not to make you feel this big and make you feel emotional. Like, you know, they show you those starving kids that are big-bellied and flies all over. I don't believe in that. I'm sorry. It's just me. This is not the gospel, please. All right? This is my opinion. Because that pulls on my emotion. That means I'm under compulsion. No, I need a clear head. I need to calm down, turn off the TV when they show that, and just pray. God, what do you, God goes, what do you want to do? Oh, okay. All right. So listen, and I have been in services. Oh man, at the end, there's somebody here that's going to give $1,000 today. No, there's five people here that are going to give in this offering $1,000, and we're not leaving until they raise their hand. Okay, and not reluctantly, sorrowful, or under compulsion. Anybody ever, I'm ashamed when that happens, all right? Okay, we love him. Okay, let each one give as he has made up in his own mind, purposed in his heart, not reluctantly, sorrowful, or under compulsion. For God, this is where I'm going to close, loves, he takes pleasures in, he prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful giver. God can't do without you. Now, you just missed it. I'm going to read that part again. I was doing backflips all Friday, Saturday, Sunday when I was reading this. Okay. For God loves, he takes pleasure in prizes above other things and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful giver. He can't do without you, guys. You got the right heart. He's going, I can't do without you. I need you. You need to. I'm reading it again. For God loves, he takes pleasure, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. All right. God needs me and he needs you. That's the way it is. He needs me and he needs you to be a giver because he's got things he wants to do in you, dump in you. It's not because he needs your money. All right. So I don't want anything from you. But God wants to dump all over you. All right. So that's why we are givers, right? Okay. We serve, yes, but we also give. Amen. So today I hope you leave happy, happy, happy. Let me see happy, happy, happy. Knowing that God's a giver, right? God's a giver. He can't live without me and you, and I am going after him. I'm going after more of him. Amen. You just guys, can I pray for you? Father God, I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you, you are a good and giving God. Father, I thank you, you are such a good God that you gave Jesus. You gave unto us, you gave him to all mankind, that we would not be dead and spend eternity separated, but you have given us life and righteousness and blessings and all good things, Father. We just want to thank you because you're good. And we come to give honor to you simply because you asked in Jesus' name. And listen, if there's people here and you're just like you're in a rock and a hard place and you're even past that with finances, I want to pray for you. Father, I know that you love them. You sent your son to rescue us, to take us, give us a way out, and you're the way out. And Father, I just pray that you open doors, maybe a better job, Father, for those that are just, you know, they're like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's just bad. But I thank you that your love and your faithfulness will open doors for them, jobs, hey, creative ideas, whatever. But I thank you for that. And Father, that they would grab hold of this message of life and freedom by being in you and honoring you. Father, that these words would just chew on them, stir on them, Father. And I thank you that it'll produce in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.